Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here on this night before the night before Christmas. So I guess that's a way to say the night before Christmas Eve, but I hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight. We'll be talking a bit about Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Christ, and we may touch on a couple of things, and if you got some questions in regards to that as well, you can give us a call tonight, and our telephone lines are open. The phone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. All right. Well, before we go any further, why don't we go ahead and start our program with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We thank you that we can celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here tonight. And I just want to remind you that you can find us online at Live with Pastor Al. Livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can find us on Facebook at livewithpastoral, facebook.com/livewithpastoral, I should say. And that way you can find us there. And we have, it looks like Facebook is streaming well for us tonight. So you can find us there as well. You can either listen online, or you can go to our Facebook page facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And let's see, I want to mention, too, of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I wanted to mention, if you're in the area and you're not doing anything tomorrow night, we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service coming up tomorrow night. And of course, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's 5171 Brecksville Road. Richfield's in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, right off from the Ohio Turnpike. In fact, the hotel that we meet at is right there where the Turnpike and 77 meet. We can see the Turnpike toll booths right outside the conference room window. That's how close we are. And you're invited tomorrow night at 7 p.m., 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, our Christmas Eve candlelight service. If you're not doing anything tomorrow night, we invite you to come. We'll be doing several things, singing some traditional Christmas songs and about the birth of Christ, celebrating Christ's birth. And then we have a time where we'll be reading through the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures, which I will also be doing on the program here tonight. In fact, we will do that as we come out of the bottom of the hour break, when we, at about half past, we have a short break. And after the break, when we come back on, I'm going to read the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. This is something that I put together for our church many years ago, and we've refined it over the years, and it's simply the Scripture, no added words at all, just simply Scriptures taken from Old and New Testament sources covering the prophecies of the birth of Christ and then the events surrounding the birth of Christ and all the way up until about he's 12 years old. And it quotes from Isaiah, Micah, Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and John, and Galatians, and just different passages. I think even Hebrews and First or Second Timothy, First Timothy, and all that in there. So we'll be reading that after the bottom of the hour break. So if you want to hear that, you can tune in then or stay tuned for that. Also, let me let you know, too, that if you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find that available as an ebook there, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. You can actually follow the links there on the page, and you can get that for free right there. Just follow the links on the page. You'll see it on the right-hand side of the page as you scroll down. All right, if you were watching on Facebook Live, there was a hiccup. It just went off. Come back on again. Hopefully it's not getting troubling. The last couple of weeks we've been doing so good on Facebook Live here on Sunday nights. It's been going so well. Hopefully it'll continue on without any problem now. All right, well, let's see. A couple other things we'll mention from time to time here tonight, but I believe we have a caller calling in already. And welcome to our program. Hello. Hello.
Hello, it's Terry.
Hi, Terry. I didn't have your name here, so I would have mentioned your name there. Welcome, Terry.
Welcome. Let's praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, I know you being in Canada, Thanksgiving's a different day, but I know we're pretty close on Christmas here, so...
2 days away.
Unless you're going to an Orthodox church, then it would be in January. So, but yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
I think the Jews have it a different day too, don't they?
Well, they really don't celebrate it, obviously, because they have Hanukkah, which is kind of interesting. There is somewhat of a connection between Hanukkah, Festival of Lights, and remember, Jesus was called the Light of the World, and he was actually born quite likely around shortly about the time, maybe shortly after the time of Hanukkah. I think that there's good evidence from the Bible and from common sense and from actual historical precedent that Jesus was probably born in late December, possibly early January. We don't know the exact date, and it's entirely possible it could have been some other time in the year. In fact, I may discuss that a little bit here later on in the program.
I was reading, of course, I've been studying the Torah, and I'm learning things all the time. Jesus said, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also shall the Son of Man lift it up.
Right, right. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, I believe it was.
Yeah, and I don't know how many times I read that and never really caught on to what it meant by Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Isn't that in Exodus, I think it is, isn't it? Or maybe it's either Exodus or... I'll have to look that up. Do you know it off the top of your head right there?
Well, I'm just...
Terry?
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded like we dropped off there for a minute.
Sorry, I thought you were talking to somebody.
No. We were just I was asking if you knew offhand the reference there where it's quoting from.
Well, the time when he put something on a pole.
Yeah, I was thinking Exodus here, and I'm going to check that out here real quick because, yeah, Jesus quoted that when he was talking to Nicodemus here in John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I'm sorry, it's Numbers chapter 21, that's what it's at. Numbers chapter 21, where the people had rebelled and sinned against God, and God allowed these poisonous snakes, described as fiery serpents, to come into the midst of the people. And we have, and ironically, this is kind of, if everybody ever noticed, on a doctor's symbol or on a, sometimes you'll see it on a prescription medicine bottle. It looks like sort of like a pole with some snakes going up around it. And this is partly where it comes from based on this. He says in Numbers 21, verse 18, this is after Moses prays for the people. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live." And that's what Moses does, and that's what happens. And so the serpents, in a sense, were a type of sin, and we've all been bitten and poisoned with sin. We have a sin nature. And when we look to Christ, who, of course, was lifted up on the pole, on the cross there, and when we look to him, we can live and we can survive, you know, that toxin of sin, just like the people there survived the toxin, the poison from the serpent that bit them.
So. Yeah, I've never seen that before, and you know, until just the other day when I was reading it.
Oh yeah, and it's a tremendous truth, and that's why when Jesus was saying that to Nicodemus, at one point there, let's see, just a little before that, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 10. Remember, Nicodemus was a rabbi, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" Meaning, aren't you a top religious rabbi here, knowledgeable person, and you don't know these things? You can't see this?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So it is. It's an amazing piece in there. It's great. This is why I just can't for the life of me figure out why people, Christians, won't read the Old Testament.
You know, I'm finding out more and more how important it is.
Oh, yeah. And you know, maybe, I don't know about next Sunday night, week from tonight, or but maybe for sure the following week, maybe, you know, either a little bit next week or the following week, when we get into the new year, I'll probably be talking a bit more about my Bible reading plan. And I read a book of the Old Testament, then I read a book of the New Testament. I've alternated through the Old and New Testament like that for many years now. And the nice part of that plan is I've read every Old Testament book in connection with every New Testament book. And, you know, so I've read Genesis in connection with Matthew, every book from Matthew through Revelation, you know, things like that. And
it kind of breaks up the border, well, because the Old Testament, there's some things, you know, especially when you get into all the begats and everything.
Oh, and the laws and some of that can get a little hard going through sometimes. But
so sometimes it's better to go back and forth.
Yeah, and then when you do that, it also, when you read the Old Testament, and I believe everybody should read the Bible through from cover to cover if you've never done it, and I've done it myself in the past. But I've been doing this for probably, oh, I don't know, 30 years or more. And the thing I like about it, I can, you know, when you read through the Bible from cover to cover, you read something in the Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible. And then by the time you get to the New Testament where you see it, like here we're looking at something in Numbers, and how it's talked about in the Gospel of John. Well, by the time you get to the Gospel of John, you may have forgotten it.
Yeah.
But if you read the book of Numbers, and then the next book you read is the book of John, the Gospel of John, and lo and behold, guess what you see? You see stuff from the book of Numbers right there, and you compare it.
I never ever seen that, ever.
It's tremendous.
Holy dear. And
it's tremendous because every time you go through the scriptures, the more you go through it, it's not like every time you read it, you're going to get some absolutely stunning, mind-blowing, world-shaking revelation that you've never seen and nobody's heard of before. But oftentimes you'll see something that kind of jumps out at you. It's just like tonight in our church service, I was in Zechariah chapter 12, and this was an interesting passage, and I hadn't seen it until I was going through this for our church service. And in Zechariah chapter 12, God is talking, and you know, and it starts out the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. And Lord, in your King James Bible, is all capital letters, which means it comes from Jehovah. It's referencing the word Jehovah. And so Jehovah God is talking all through this. And it says in Zechariah chapter 12, when you get down to verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I," that means Jehovah God, "will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." And then in verse 10, it says, "And I," again, that's Jehovah God, "will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." And you know what's amazing there? A lot of people just kind of glance over. They think they look upon him whom they have pierced. No, Jehovah God says they'll look upon me whom they have pierced. Do you know what that means? Here is Jehovah God saying that I'm the Savior because the one that they have pierced, that's Jesus Christ. Remember, his hands and his feet were pierced on the cross as he hung there. And then when they wanted to make sure he was dead, they pierced his side with the spear. And so when he revealed himself to his disciples later, he invited them to see where the nails had pierced his hands and feet, where the spear had pierced his side, and Thomas wasn't there. And he said, "Well, unless I can see the nail prints and see where the spear went in, I'm just not going to believe it." And then a week later, Jesus comes again, and Thomas is there, and he calls out to Thomas. He says, "Listen, reach your hand over here. Feel the holes in my hands and feet and in my side here." And there's a great hymn by Fanny Crosby, who was blinded at birth, an accident when they were supposed to put some drops in her eyes to clean them out. They put the wrong stuff in, and it blinded her, so she was blind all her life. And she wrote a tremendous song where in the song she talks about that when she looks upon Jesus, and then she says, "I shall know him by the prints, of the nails in his hands." And what's really interesting about that is, how does a blind person know you? You know, they touch, they feel your face, they feel the shape of your face to know who you are. And Fanny Crosby, who's confident that she will be able to see with her eyes, something she couldn't do all her life, but what would make it certain for her is she would reach out and she would touch Christ and feel the print of the nails in his hands. You know, that's kind of exciting, isn't it?
And blessed are they that believe, but yet have not.
Yes, that's what Jesus said. Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually memorized that whole chapter.
Oh, it's a great chapter. It really is. And
John 14.
Yeah, and so when you look at that, and you see here in Zechariah chapter 12, in the prophets here, where Jehovah God says they're going to look on me whom they've pierced. Well, that's none other than Jesus Christ. I believe it's Psalm 22 talks about him being pierced, and it's talking about the Messiah.
And doesn't it say they're going to wail because of him?
Yes, it does, and I think part of that means that they're going to realize, because in Romans chapter 11, it talks about how they're under blindness, and then the blindness will be removed, and they'll come to realize that Christ is the Messiah, and the people will, you know, as a whole, I mean, there'll be exceptions, obviously, but as a whole, they will embrace Christ as their Messiah. And I think part of the wailing and the mourning is because they realize, you know what? This was the guy we rejected some 2,000 years ago.
I think that's even now, though, when he comes, they'll wail because of his coming.
Well, in this case, though, we're talking about the Jewish people wailing, not the enemies. Now, the enemies would wail because they're being destroyed, but the Jewish people, it says, and it says there in Zechariah 12, as you get down to verse 12, it says, "And the land shall mourn every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart." Nathan was a son of David, whom, it's God has it there for a reason. The line that Jesus came through is through Nathan, the son of David, because that's the line that Mary was. Mary's genealogy in the scripture is given. She goes back to Nathan, the son of David. See, Joseph could not have been the father of Christ and then him be the ruler, because Joseph was of the line of Jeconiah, of the kings, that had a curse placed on them where none of their descendants would sit on the throne ruling over Israel or over Judah. So, but it is interesting. And then it also talks about Levi there and things like that. So, I think the Jewish people would mourn because they would know we rejected him, and he was the Messiah all along.
And they still reject him.
Well, but at this point, they'll accept him. Because that's, I believe, in Romans chapter 11, where it talks about all of Israel being saved and and coming to know him as their Savior. So, but yeah, that's,
I put a roof on a synagogue, half of a synagogue. Actually, half of a synagogue, that doesn't sound right. I put a roof on half a synagogue. The other half was metal, so I put a shingle on the other side, and I got to get to know him. Got to that.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. And so we had to pray for the Jewish people.
Yeah, and they studied. They only believe in the first five books of the Bible.
Yeah, and of course, when you get into the other books, it's a little complicated. But even the first five books of the Bible, you know, Christ is there, and he's revealed there, he's talked about there and revealed in the New Testament. So it's great. Hey Terry, I got somebody else calling. I want to try and get in before the end of the break here. Thank you for calling and bringing some of that up. That was good to talk about, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. We'll be talking again, I'm sure.
God bless everybody out there.
All right, thanks, and God bless. Merry Christmas. We've got Sally waiting, and Sally, welcome to the program today.
Hi, thank you. I have a question.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
I have never seen this before, noticed it, but in Hebrews 3,
all right.
9, it says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. And 11 says, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Is that saying all those people in those 40 years did not get saved?
All right, let me get over here to Hebrews here. Hebrews chapter 3, and you were talking about there, you finished there with verse number 11. I believe it was probably Paul writing here, but we know it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, because it says it right there in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. So what he's referring back to, back in Exodus, I think it's chapter, probably around chapter 17 or so, where they rejected God's offer of the promised land. Remember, they sent the spies in. God said, brought them, Moses brought them to the River Jordan. There's the promised land. They sent spies in, 12 spies, one from each tribe. And as they came back, 10 of them said, oh man, there's giants there. And yeah, we're going to just be slaughtered. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, I believe was the other one, said, hey, God's with us, with the Lord on our side, we can take this land, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And the others would say, oh, no, that may be true that it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but we're grasshoppers in the sight of the people that are there. They'll just squash us like bugs. And they rebelled. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And so they turned against God there. That's where they tempted him and proved him. And what happened was God said, since you rejected the promised land that I brought you to, you're not going to go into the promised land. Now, that doesn't mean that they were not saved in the sense of putting their faith in God and all of that, because Moses, for instance, did not go into the promised land, neither did Aaron. And they clearly, Aaron was the first high priest, and Moses was God's prophet, and they clearly served God and worshiped God and followed him. It's just that the rest that God had for them, because they would not be obedient to God, they could not enter into his rest. And really, that's a picture of us as Christians today. If we will not obey God, if we will not read his word and allow his word to saturate us and conduct our lives and everything according to God's word, we're not going to enter into his rest. We're going to have trouble and turmoil and unrest, because we're fighting God the whole way, just like they fought God. So, yeah, so when he says, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, that was a reference to not getting, you know, the opportunity to go into the promised land and enjoy the blessings that God had for them there. In fact, if you look, that whole section there from verse 7 to verse 11 is in a parentheses to clarify some things. And then he says in verse 12, before the sentence ends, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily." And so he's saying, you as believers, don't let yourself doubt God. Don't let yourself depart from what God wants for you, and exhort one another, encourage one another on a daily basis, you know, so that you can continue to do the things that God, in fact, even says in verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, which again is referring back to when they hardened their hearts against God. So it's not really dealing with salvation here. It's dealing with the blessing of God and the rest that he has for us.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, but it's a good passage. It really is.
Yes.
But yeah, I want to thank you for calling and bringing that up. So,
thank you.
All right. Well, Sally, I hope you'll call back again sometime, and wish you a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be taking a break in about a minute or so. And our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, when we come out of the break, I'll probably make a couple of announcements, and then we'll be reading the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. And so if we have anybody that calls in during that time, you have to wait until I finish reading that, and then we'll get to your calls. But let me encourage you. You know, we don't know, it's true, we don't know exactly the day that Jesus was born on, and I'm going to try and post some stuff on our Facebook page here, but, you know, to absolutely rule out December based on the fact that it's cold, well, let me tell you this. There's people, shepherds, that have sheep in the fields year-round in that part of the world. And in fact, the sheep are giving birth to lambs at that time of year. Well, we're out of time in this break. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. And just a reminder here, I'm going to be reading The Birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. Take probably about a little over 10, at least 10 minutes, maybe a little longer, depending on how fast I talk. And we'll be holding our calls until after I finish that. I've learned over the years, trial, and you know, that if I wait too long, it's hard to get it done by the end of the program. So we'll do that right away. Just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we're having problems with Facebook Live broadcast tonight. If you've been trying to watch that, it's cut off. I got it started again. We'll see what happens. But at any rate, let me go ahead and read through this. Again, as I said, this is available online at our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can either listen to me on there reading it, or you can order a copy of it as an ebook. Actually, more like a little e-booklet, I guess, but it's entirely from the King James Version of the Bible. No added words, just verses from Old and New Testament taken together and placed one after another in a very readable narrative that's nothing more than the words of God, the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. The Bible says this, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored! The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, and they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." But when Herod was dead, Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise to take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Well, amen to that. That's the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures there. And I just want to like to read that every year at Christmas time. It's a good way to remind people of what the true meaning of Christmas is. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Nancy who has been hanging on patiently here. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
What Hi, good evening.
Beautiful reading of the Word. I really, really appreciate that. I've always been a little bit mystified about when Jesus was on earth, you know, as a baby, and then when he was crucified at age 33, did his functions or activities or jobs in heaven change while he was also on earth? I know he can do anything, and he's, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I was thinking, when he was dying on the cross, I know Jesus suffered great pain, but Jesus that was also in heaven, did both of them suffer pain? I'm just really confused about when he was on earth, his function or...
Well, it can get confusing, but, we're trying to understand, the nature of God here. And, mm-hmm. Some of it is hard for us to understand, if not impossible to understand, but it goes to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, as the Bible mm-hmm. says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, I believe it is. And we also see that, evident in, throughout the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, if you prefer. And it's one God. It's not three separate gods working in a committee. It's one God, as we say, manifest in three persons. And so when Jesus was on earth, it's like I was telling our caller in the first half hour tonight, there's this passage in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, where Jehovah God says, they'll look upon me whom they have pierced. And so we're clearly seeing that the Lord God says that he's the one that was on the cross, that was pierced, that died for our sins. And So God, is all present, everywhere. So when Jesus was on earth, his function as God in heaven did not, you know, really cease in that sense, because he was still God in heaven, although manifest. The Bible says, you know, the mystery of God, that Paul said to Timothy, the mystery of godliness, I believe it was, that God was manifest in the flesh. Excuse me. So when we see that, yeah, it gets confusing, because we look at that and we see, you know, for instance, Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But we also understand that in order to pay for our sins, God had to take our sins upon himself, and he had to die. Well, how can God die? You know, God's an eternal being. He can't cease to exist. But we also know that at that point, the Father had forsaken the Son. And if we put it in this way, in Genesis chapter 1, you know, the Bible says we're creating God's image. And then in Genesis chapter 2, as I've talked about the Godhead, in Genesis chapter 2, it describes how God took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of Adam. Well, that's Adam's physical self. That's Adam. But it's distinct from his soul and his spirit. And God breathed in him the breath of life. That's the spirit. And the spirit of Adam is distinct from his soul and his body. And then it says, and Adam became a living soul. And that's Adam, the soul. But the soul is distinct from the spirit and the body. And when we die, and you know, you've been at the funerals of loved ones, and we understand when a person dies, excuse me, when a person dies, for a believer, the Bible says, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, absent from the body. Well, what's absent from the body? The soul and the spirit are absent from the body, but present with the Lord. We go to be in the Lord's presence, but the body goes into the tomb. And so at the funeral, the body is there, but the soul and spirit have gone. For the believer, they're in heaven. The body is here on earth. When the Lord comes back for us in what we call the rapture, the catching away of the believers, says the dead in Christ rise first. Well, that's their bodies. And the soul and spirit are described there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as coming back with Christ. Then their bodies rise to, and they you know, they're completed, body, soul, and spirit. So death for us is a physical, or a separation of the physical part of our being, our body, from our soul and spirit. And if you think about that, we're creating the image of God. So the soul would be analogous to God the Father, the thinking, decision-making part. The spirit, obviously, God the Holy Spirit, and the body, God the Son, the physical part of God, manifestation of God. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he tasted death. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God the Son was separated from the Father in the Spirit in much the same way that our body is separated from our soul and spirit at death. And that's where Jesus tasted death. And so in those moments that he hung on the cross, forsaken of God, he paid for our sin. He died for us. And then, of course, he said after that, it is finished. And that fellowship was restored. So the only time that the Godhead was disrupted, I guess you could say, is when God took your sins and my sins upon himself to die for us. And then, of course, you know, he paid that price. Well, that moment on the cross is an eternity for God, because he's an eternal being. And so that's always there for God. But hopefully we covered some of the stuff that you were asking there, Nancy.
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate the question there. Sometimes I get a little far afield on that, but I want to thank you and wish you a Merry Christmas as well.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, wife.
And appreciate that. Is the church having a service at Christmas Eve?
Yes, Christmas Day.
Or Christmas Day at the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio.
Yes.
And they're on Chardon Avenue. Encourage people to check that out, Pastor Andy Rusnacko, on Christmas Day. Well, Nancy, we're out of time. Tell everybody there I said Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners tonight. Thank you so much for listening. God bless, and have a very blessed Christmas indeed.
You've
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.